Hey, this is Dominique Henderson, your CFP on YouTube, guiding you to a career in financial services. This episode originally aired on my YouTube channel, which you can find at www.youtube.com/theYouTubeCFP. Make sure you join me each week as I share with you information on how to become a financial professional and the things you should be considering as you navigate down this career path. Without further ado, here's this week's episode. You may have thought about breaking away from your current firm and starting your own independent registered investment advisory. However, I want to give you a couple things to consider before you make that move. Get the pen and paper out.
You know, I really kind of want to detach from the broker-dealer route and go the more RIA route. But I'm just not really certain how to exactly like kind of branch away.
What's up, everybody? Your CFP here on YouTube, Dominique Henderson, founder of DGH Capital Management. And I love the clip that you just saw set up beautifully by one of the people in my Facebook group. You got to check that out. Look down in the show notes for more information. But this really goes around two real questions. It's not only the how do you break out, but it's the when do you break out? And I'm going to do my best to cover both of those so that after this video, you will be well equipped with both the pros and the cons of breaking away and starting your own firm. Let's get right to it. Now, in my own humble opinion, after having served in this industry for over 20 years and started my own firm 3 years ago, I happen to think that the when is a lot more important than the how. And the reason for that is because when you start talking about when, you could have an existing job, or you could be career changing, or you could be, you know, a recent grad, or even in school and thinking about that. The when is very important. Now, why is the when so important? I think the when is so important because it centers around the variables of, do you have enough financial runway? And what do I mean by financial runway? Well, what I've seen by and large is that businesses don't fail because the business owner is incompetent, more or less. It's because when you start a business, you not only have your own personal expenses that you've had for a while, but you also have business expenses. And the problem is the business off the bat doesn't generally bring you revenue in. So you've got these two, you know, albatrosses, if you will, of personal and business expenses, and you've probably taken a pay cut, depending on how you've started your new business, in order to launch it. And so no revenue is coming in. Now, how can you mitigate this if you are wanting to break away? Because this is all about for those people that want to eventually break away from their existing firms and start their own. Now, I would say that number one, it's really cool if you had some financial support. Financial support in the form of maybe a supportive spouse. Maybe the spouse is working and they have a job and you can use their benefits and their income to kind of, you know, pad the runway as you're trying to get clients and ramp up your business. The other thing you could do is just stay on your current job for a while and start to accumulate some savings, which means that you're going to have to cut your lifestyle. You're going to have to make some sacrifices in order to run your business the way you want so that when you eventually start up, you will have that runway, that cash flow that you need in order to be successful, because it's going to take you anywhere from 18 to 36 months or so to get your feet up under you, get your business running, and make sure that you are attracting the type of clients that are going to be sustaining your business going forward with the revenue that you need. One other aspect about when is, when are you going to be ready, right? When do you have the experience that it's going to take or require to serve a client that is entrusting you with their financial future, whether that be retirement savings or recommending the right type of products or what have you? You're going to have to be competent enough in order to serve that client's needs in a way that allows them to trust you. My kind of, let's call it golden rule or standard is, you know, less than 5 years of experience in the industry, you need to be working for somebody. After 5 years, depending on the type of career path you're taking and the amount of experience that you have, I would say go for it. You know, go ahead and do it. It's not going to be easy, but things that are worth it are normally not easy. But go ahead and get that 5 years. You know, that's going to help you see a lot of different facets of the business. It's going to give you the experience. It's going to give you the client case studies and the different scenarios that are going to be helpful in forming your own practice. Because keep in mind that when you start a financial advisory practice, you're going to wear many hats. You're not just going to be sitting behind a desk, you know, picking investments or building financial plans. You're going to also be doing all types of things that are not necessarily inside the realm of what you may think of a financial advisor. You're going to be marketing. You're going to be branding yourself. You're going to be doing all these different things to get people coming through the door. Now, I can be pretty polarizing on that opinion. So just leave me a comment down below if you think 5 years of experience is too little or too much. Do you think that, you know, maybe Dominique, I can be doing this a little bit before that time? You know, leave your opinion down there. I would love to hear what you think. Hey, Dominique here, and I hope you are really enjoying this week's episode. Look, if you're a current or aspiring financial professional and you'd like to join a community of like-minded individuals that I'm sharing my 20 plus years of experience with, make sure you visit my website at www.djh-capital.com for more information. Now back to this week's episode. All right, let's jump to the how. The first thing is you want to play by the rules, right? So if you're with a firm and you're employed by that firm, whether you are an employee of the firm or what is an IAR or an investment advisor representative, which means you represent someone that offers financial advice, an RIA usually or a broker dealer, you're going to want to do what is called declare an outside business activity. It's an OBA. The compliance department is going to be responsible for recording this on what is called your U4. And this is your history of what you've done in the financial industry as far as disclosures, whether they be, you know, personal in nature or financial in nature, designations you hold, what licenses you hold, your job history, your education, all this is going to be on your U4. And you want to keep that thing as clean as possible. So that means you won't be able to moonlight and work for firm A as well as for firm B. The only way that can be done, again, is if that is approved as an outside business activity. Now, this is also normally why you won't see people solicit clients for their new firm while they're working at a firm. So if you are employed by firm XYZ and you are wanting to start, you know, your financial services firm, you know, whatever the name is going to be, you can't typically do those two at the same time because the same clients that you are trying to solicit, you would have to either declare that as an outside business activity. And more importantly, your current firm is going to usually have some type of what is called non-compete agreement, where you can't be going after the relationships that that firm has already established and trying to bring them on as your clients. And then you may say, well, Dominique, I don't want any of those clients. Well, you're still going to have to, at a minimum, declare what you're trying to do as an outside business activity. And then that conflict of interest just makes it really hard. And that's why you want to just probably make a clean break from your existing firm before you start your own. Now, you may ask, what are some things that I can do while I'm currently employed by someone or being an IAR of somebody? Well, you can definitely file your LLC if that's going to be the type of business structure or business organization that you use to run your firm. You can file that with the state. You can check to make sure that the name is available. You can go ahead and start working on your business plan. You can work on your policies and procedures, your ADV, your firm brochure, all the different things that you're going to need in order to file anyway. You can do all that in your spare time. Matter of fact, I did it myself. So you can always do those type of things, but you're going to have to be really careful that you do not market to or solicit business from new prospective clients before you're actually up and running and approved by whatever state or jurisdiction that you're going to be doing business in. Now, final point on the how. You're going to want to make sure you're crossing all your T's and dotting all your I's and filing where you need to, right? So generally speaking, whatever state you're domiciled in or you're doing business out of, that's where you're going to want to file first. Depending on your size and how many clients you're going to have when you first open up your doors and hang your shingle, if you will, you may have to file at the SEC level, the Securities Exchange Commission level. That is very rare. You typically have to have a certain amount of assets that you're managing before that's happening or a certain amount of clients in a particular state. But you'll want to make sure that you hire probably a professional, either a compliance attorney or a securities attorney, in order to do that correctly. Very rarely do are people able to do this all on their own without making some very costly mistakes. So go ahead and invest in a securities professional or securities attorney to do the filing for you. There's a couple of large organizations. RIA in a Box is one of them that comes to mind that allows you to use their services to file, and they give you some follow-up. They give you some service and some follow-up after you initially file, just to make sure that things are all hunky-dory and that you're not going to have, you know, any liability out there just in case you get audited or whatnot. Now, there was so much I did not cover, but if you're interested in this path or breaking away, becoming a financial advisor, make sure you check out some of the information that I have on other playlists, specifically how to become a financial professional. Also got some good content in the day in the life of. And if you are very interested, like I said, in becoming a financial professional, make sure you let me know down in the comments. I would love to give some resources to you and help you along your way. Talk to you later. Bye-bye for now. Well, that wraps up this week's episode, and I hope you were able to glean at least one takeaway that will help you on your path. You know what? I'd really love to hear what it was that I said that may have helped you. Feel free to drop me an email at info@djh-capital.com. That's info@djh-capital.com. One last thing, my friend. It would really help the podcast if you would leave a review on the platform that you're enjoying it on. I'd really appreciate it. And it will help more financial professionals like yourself find out about what we're doing here. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.